Well, this is a teaching for this first week in February. Praise God. I'm glad you guys are listening. You know, we always look back, don't we? Our history of the world, a nation, our faith, our family, and our own personal story all have great significance for our lives moving forward. We learn from history, both from its successes and achievements, as well as from the mistakes made. History is a platform on which to build a better future. When God told Joshua to build memorial stones marking the supernatural crossing of the Red Sea, it was so that future generations would not forget who brought them out of slavery. When we tell our children of the miraculous works of God in our lives, stories of deliverance, healing, and provision, it's to build their faith that what God has done for us, He will do for them. When they know that God has made good on His promises in our lives, they'll be positioned to believe He will do the very same thing in theirs. You know, history is important and positive when we hold this perspective. However, there are ways to look back which will lead us nowhere at all. Last week, we talked about the next new thing. Transitioning to a new place or a new job or a new role, that takes courage and it takes faith. As I continued to meditate on this, the Lord showed me that an area where the enemy is often able to detain us from following with joy into something new is by having us dwell on what has been. If we cling to where we have been, where we've been comfortable, even with its ups and downs, it will chain us to a place God no longer wants us to inhabit. We may not have loved every minute of that job, but we knew what to expect and what was expected of us. We may not love everything about where we currently live, but when we're asked to move and we really think about leaving, we suddenly reflect on all the positive things about it and what we might be giving up. I was reminded of the Israelites again leaving Egypt when God was supernaturally freeing them and leading them out to the promised land. All they could think about was losing the onions and the leeks, not the baking bricks all day. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The enemy always wants to divert our focus from the promises of God for our future to what has been and what we may be giving up. I want to look again at Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." When God is moving us into something new, He's rather clear that we are not to dwell on the past. It's terribly difficult to move forward while our heads are turned looking back. We inevitably will stumble or lose our way. This scripture admonishes us to really look at the new thing God's doing. If we're not focused on it, we may very well miss it. Sometimes when looking forward, we see nothing at all in the natural. There is no new job, no new house, no new friend. Yet God says to keep our eyes open because He will make a way, a road in an apparent wilderness, bringing refreshment and life into an area that looks arid and dry. As I was coaching a precious woman of God this weekend, the Lord continued to teach me about another area where looking back can get us into trouble. There's times where past wounding caused by others keep us chained to the past. Now, sometimes the Lord will take us back to a painful time, and that's where He's going to heal us. Yet other times, the enemy will simply have us relive it to torment us over and over again. And then there's our own mistakes. They also serve as shackles, chaining us to the past through false guilt and shame. And we experience the talons of regret piercing our very souls. Regret is really agreeing with the enemy. When we agree with Satan through self-condemnation, remember, he's the accuser of the brethren, we empower him. It's really the only power he has over us. agreement with what he says about us in direct contrast to what God says. According to God, we're loved and we're forgiven for our mistakes. You know, I remember buying a home in the Bay Area years ago. We looked at that house once about 11 o'clock. Oh, it was so quiet. It was just perfect. We moved in and then I heard it. Traffic. Morning and evening rush hour traffic noise carried up the hill and sounded like it was coming right through our living room. I'd made a mistake. How could I have been so stupid? Sleepless nights ensued, and after a few months of this constant self-recrimination, I fell into a pit of depression. Please note, this was not a state I was used to. It was brand new territory for an optimist. However, my negative thoughts drove me there. And as I stayed, I felt every moment of depression until my mentor showed me the way up and out of that stronghold I had let be established through wrong thinking, which led to a habit of self-condemnation. And that's where the enemy had me pinned down, unable to move. I had to choose to forgive myself. Imagine that. God had already done it, and I needed to follow his lead. I also had to begin to praise him and acknowledge that he was bigger than my mistake. In the end, that home became a place of praise and blessing. And in fact, it trained me to block out noise, which became very helpful when he led me to a job where my office window was always open and it abutted a freeway overpass in San Francisco, along with my being in an open room full of engineers playing crazy music while they worked. You know, as we look back, I want us to remember to create a thankful list for all God has done for you and know that he'll do it again. But also acknowledge thoughts of regret and shame and self-condemnation as a strategy coming from the enemy to keep you where you are or where you have been. And then open your eyes to where he's leading, eyes of faith, and those rivers are going to flow. He promised. All right. God bless. I hope this was a blessing to you.